Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Tonight we are beginning a new series in Galatians 5 on the fruit of the Spirit found in verses 22 and 23. Likely a familiar phrase and familiar verses for many of you, but Lord willing, in the weeks ahead, we're going to look at these various aspects of the fruit of the Spirit one by one together. And tonight we're going to consider the topic as a whole and look at some of the context here in Galatians chapter 5. So I'll read verse 16 down through verse 26 for us tonight. Please give your attention to the Word of God, Galatians 5, beginning at verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. That's where we'll end the reading of God's word. Let's stop and ask for his help and blessing. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to hear it together. Lord, we pray, as we've just sung in Psalm 1, that we would delight in your word, that we would be like this blessed man who walks not in the ways of the world, but walks in the way of your word. And so, Lord, give us ears to hear your word. We were reminded already tonight that man does not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from your mouth. Lord, we ask that you would restore us and refresh us, O Lord God of hosts, and shine your face on us now as we hear your word. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. What comes to mind when you hear the phrase, the fruit of the Spirit? Perhaps your mind goes here to Galatians 5:22. Maybe you've memorized these verses. Maybe you think of a list of rules to which you never measure up. Or maybe you picture a vine full of ripe fruit. Well, Lord willing, in the weeks ahead, we are going to consider the fruit of the Spirit here in verses 22 and 23 of Galatians 5. And we're going to go through the fruit of the Spirit one by one. And right out of the gate, I want us to think of this not as a list of rules, not a to-do list, although God certainly calls us to seek these things, to live these. But I want us to think of it rather as a beautiful portrait. A beautiful portrait. The fruit of the Spirit is really a portrait of Jesus Christ. It's a snapshot, if you will, of the character of Jesus. And it's a picture of who the Holy Spirit is transforming you to become. The Holy Spirit is cultivating this beautiful fruit in his people who are united to Christ by faith. And so this ought to be one of the more encouraging and delightful verses in all the scriptures. Just as it's pleasant to look at a work of a masterful artist or the favorite picture of a loved one, it ought to be a joy and an encouragement for us to gaze on the loveliness of Jesus Christ, to see these things in him, to contemplate how he, by his Spirit, is actually making us look like him. That's really what we have here in Galatians 5. And tonight, before we look at the individual parts of the fruit of the Spirit, we want to consider the big picture, the idea of spiritual fruit, as well as the context here in Galatians 5. And as we begin, I want you to imagine an apple orchard in February. An apple orchard in February. If you were to go to that orchard at that time of the year, the trees are bare. There'd be no leaves, no fruit. They would be gray and barren. But then imagine returning to that same orchard in September. What you would see is that everything is alive. Everything is green, and the branches are bending with ripening fruit. The apples didn't grow themselves, but slowly, by the life of the tree, by the nutrients in the soil, by sunlight and water and time and countless unseen processes, fruit was produced. And it grew, and it's beautiful and bountiful and sweet and useful and amazing. Brothers and sisters, keep that picture in mind tonight and in the weeks ahead as we consider the fruit of the Spirit, because if you are united to Jesus Christ, if you are in the vine by faith, this is what he is doing. This is what he will do in you, not fully, not perfectly in this life, but increasingly and abundantly by the power and life and work of his Spirit in you. He will bring life and beauty and fruit. And so the call and the challenge of God, God's word tonight and in the weeks ahead, is to walk by faith in the Spirit as he cultivates this fruit in you. Walk by faith in the Spirit as he conforms you to Jesus Christ, as you more and more look like that portrait of Christ, like the person of Christ, as he brings this fruit in your life. Well, let's look at the context and the bigger picture together tonight, and I want to do so by considering three realities that we see here: combat, cultivation, and conformity. We're going to consider each one of those here tonight, and I want to start with the reality of combat. Combat. Look with me again at verses 16 through 17. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." As we consider the fruit of the Spirit, we need to know and be aware of the fact that there is a force fighting against the Spirit and doing all that it can to keep fruit from growing in our lives. Five times here we read about the desires or the works of the flesh. The flesh. And these are in direct opposition to the desires and the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, they're in a fierce battle. They're in combat with the Spirit. But what is the flesh? What is the flesh? Well, the flesh is our corrupt, sinful human nature, our fallen nature that still remains. By our union with Christ, the flesh was crucified in the death of Christ. Galatians 2:20, it's a well-known verse. It speaks of this reality. I've been crucified with Christ. Verse 24 speaks of this as well here in chapter 5. The flesh, the old man of sin, died with Christ. And yet, while a definitive death blow has been dealt to the flesh, while in Christ we are freed from the dominion of the flesh and the guilt and penalty of sin, there are still remnants of the flesh, remnants of the old man that must be put to death. We are not entirely freed from the presence of sin. And so there is this combat in us. The flesh has been mortally wounded and weakened. It will not win. And yet its desires, its passions, its influence is still present. And the way the flesh does battle in us is to attack the Spirit, to try to keep you from walking by the Spirit and bearing fruit, keep you from doing the will of God for His glory. In fact, it tries to get you to do the very thing you in Christ want to do, the thing that you don't want to do. The flesh wants you to do that which is self-centered, sinful, that which chokes out life and fruit. And so think of it as weeds or pests in an orchard that threaten the fruit or kill the fruit. You could also think of it as a defeated enemy army that is not yet fully subdued, carrying out guerrilla warfare. And we're actually given in this passage a sampling, a catalog, if you will, of common works of the flesh, what this can look like in life, and it is not a nice picture. Look at verse 19 through 21 again with me. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. These works of the flesh are in direct conflict and opposition and combat with the Spirit's fruit. And if you look at this list, this scary list, you can find the opposites of the fruit of the Spirit in this list. And so you see sexual immorality instead of love, strife and division rather than peace, anger instead of gentleness and patience, drunkenness instead of self-control, and so on. Now, some will hear this list or read this, and they're terrified by this, but they're particularly terrified by the last words, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom. We do need to understand that what Paul is speaking of here is habitual, ongoing practices. If your life is marked by these works and you are not fighting them, you're not repenting, you're not seeking Christ's forgiveness and righteousness and help, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And this is a serious and sobering warning. And it ought to be terrifying. It ought to drive us to Jesus Christ. We need to understand, though, that all of these things can be washed by the blood of Christ and overcome by the Spirit. Paul actually gives a similar list, a similar warning in 1 Corinthians 6, but then he goes on to say, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit. And so, brothers and sisters, when jealousy, impurity, anger, things like these are present in your life, that is the flesh doing battle against you. That is sin that you must repent of, seek God's forgiveness for in Christ, and then by the Spirit seek to put to death and replace with His fruit. But if you also hear that list tonight and you look at your life and you see that these things are a pattern in your life, and these are ongoing sins, and you're not repenting of them, you're not seeking Christ's help and forgiveness and his righteousness, then you need to be warned. You need to know that you are not going to be able to bear fruit. You're not going to have love and joy and peace. And if that's the case, you need to humble yourself and repent of that sin. Turn from that sin. Turn to Jesus Christ. Trust in him and look to him to deliver you and save you from your sin. Well, a lot more could be said here, but do you see the reality of combat? The presence of the flesh and how it's doing battle against the fruit of the Spirit. Because of this, we need to know that bearing fruit is painful, will be painful. The flesh will fight it and is fighting it. We are at war, and God will prune us. God will discipline us in love. He's a good father, a good gardener. We're in a painful, lifelong battle with the flesh, and so we need to be persistent. We need to be vigilant. We need to be prayerful in this fight against the flesh. We must tear out these deadly weeds by the grace and strength of Jesus, by his Spirit in us. And the good news is that the Spirit will win. For those who are in Christ by faith, the Holy Spirit will be successful. He will cultivate fruit in the lives of his people. And I want us to consider that second tonight, the idea of growing fruit, cultivation. Now look with me again at verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And so in contrast to the works of the flesh is the work of the Spirit. Notice how verse 22 begins with the word but. But the work of the Spirit brings good fruit. And there are several similar phrases here in this larger section about the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, desires of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and keep in step with the Spirit. Do you see the centrality of the Spirit? The Holy Spirit dwells in God's people. The Holy Spirit regenerates them, unites them to Jesus Christ, brings the person of Christ and the power of Christ to them. And walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, means living in his power and by his means. Being guided by his truth, being changed and transformed by him, having him cultivate fruit in us. And notice here in verse 22 that the fruit is his. It is the fruit of the Spirit. This is such a familiar phrase for most of us that we might forget that. It is the fruit of the Spirit, meaning this fruit is his work. He gives it. He grows it. It's not called the fruit of our striving, the fruit of our law keeping, the fruit of our good upbringing, the fruit of our good church, fill in the blank. It is the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit grows and cultivates this fruit in us. Now, he calls us to seek it. He calls us to work out by his grace what he works in us. But he is the source. He is the gardener. He is causing the growth. It's his power in us that supplies all that's needed to bring fruit. And the picture of fruit is so helpful. And I want us to think about this metaphor, this idea of fruit. Think about how fruit does not grow on its own. Fruit doesn't grow randomly. It grows from a source. From a plant. An apple grows on a branch of a living apple tree. It doesn't grow disconnected in a lab. It doesn't grow on an assembly line. The life and energy and material and nutrients comes from the tree. It also grows according to its nature. And so an apple tree grows apples and not oranges or walnuts. An apple tree grows apples. And fruit also grows gradually. A fruit doesn't just spring up instantly. Fruit is not hatched. Fruit grows slowly over time. And all of these things about fruit are true of the fruit of the Spirit in the life of a Christian. This is why it's such a fitting and helpful metaphor. Think about this. Love, joy, peace, gentleness. These things don't grow on their own. They have a source. And that source is the risen Jesus. Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, he is the tree, he is the vine, the energy and the life comes from him. And the fruit that grows is according to his nature. It resembles him. It doesn't resemble Satan, it doesn't resemble sinners, it doesn't resemble man, it resembles the God-man, the perfect Son of God. And also the fruit of the Spirit is not instantaneous. Like fruit, it grows gradually, often imperceptibly. It grows in the context of combat, as we've already seen. It grows through means. The Spirit doesn't create fruit automatically. It doesn't ordinarily simply cause it just to appear. A plant without roots, without water and soil and sunlight, will produce little to no fruit. Likewise, a Christian without the Word of God, without prayer, without the church, without the sacraments, without daily dependence on Jesus, walking in the Spirit will produce little fruit. These are the Spirit's means of gradually and progressively cultivating fruit in the Lord's ways, in his people. And so because of all this, when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, and as we consider it in the weeks ahead, as we seek it in our lives, we need to be patient. We need to depend on the Holy Spirit. There's a healthy urgency we ought to have for our sanctification, for our holiness, for this fruit, and yet we also must wait upon the Lord and be patient. You don't plant a seed and expect produce the next day. You don't see an apple tree in blossom and expect an apple tomorrow. Fruit grows slowly, and we need to remember that. We need to be patient. We need to be patient with each other. We also need to remember, as we've already said, that it's painful. The process of fruit growing is painful. Weeds will need to be plucked. But we ought to be so hopeful. Full of faith, because it is a work of the Spirit. It is not a work of us. It is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of you or me. We also need to keep our eyes on and use the means of grace, the biblical ordinary means of the Spirit that he uses to cultivate and grow his fruit in us. And we do all of this keeping our eyes on Jesus. On his power and his life and his character that will slowly be conformed to. And I want us to consider that third and finally tonight, conformity. The Holy Spirit is bringing us into conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look again with me at verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When you hear that list, you ought to picture Jesus Christ. Your mind ought to go to him. This fruit cultivated in us is ultimately the Holy Spirit conforming us to Jesus. Remember, think of this list, think of these words as a portrait of Jesus, as a picture of his character. That's who we are being made. That's who you are being made by the Holy Spirit to resemble. And I want you to notice in verse 22 how it says the fruit, singular, the fruit is. It's not the fruits are. It's not like the works of the flesh, which were plural and many and varied. It's not even like the gifts of the Spirit, which are many and varied as well. The Spirit's fruit is singular, and it's presented that way purposely. It's a united whole. It's a cohesive unit, and that is because it is patterned after Christ, the one Christ. It is His heart and His likeness, His character that's being cultivated, that we're being conformed to. Notice also that verse 22 doesn't call you to do anything. This is not a list you go through and check off. Okay, I did love. I've got peace. I was gentle. It's not portrayed that way. No, this is who you are becoming in Christ by His life and His power in you. This is not a list of behaviors that you do. This is who Christ is completely and perfectly. And He will work this in you. He is working this in you, gradually making you take on these characteristics. And so they're a single unit with various dimensions, and they all fit together. Think about it. You can't be Christ-like if you are loving, but you're angry. You can't be Christ-like if you have self-control, but you're not kind. And so you see, these all fit together and have to work together. Now, it's a gradual work in progress, and it's not done until glory, and there'll be some parts that are more or less visible or present in each of our lives. But we need to think of this as one beautiful, cohesive portrait, one beautiful person to whom we are being conformed. And we derive life and strength from Him, Him who's conforming us to Himself. And so Jesus said in John 15, we heard this already tonight, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We are the branches united to and abiding in Jesus, the vine, bearing fruit in and by him. And that fruit, it should be no surprise, resembles him, looks like him. And this picture of fruit we've already seen tonight goes back to the Old Testament. We sang in Psalm 1 about bearing fruit. Psalm 1 speaks of the blessed man who walks in God's word as a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit. And the one ultimate blessed man of Psalm 1 is Jesus. But it's also those who are in him, who are united to him by faith, who are in the vine, those who trust him and trust his word. He brings this fruit, this life in them. Apart from him, it's not possible, but in him it is. And so we must abide in him in order to be conformed to him. We must trust in him, depend on him, abide in his word, the sword of the Spirit, as he conforms us to himself. Romans 8, verse 29 says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Friends, this is God's plan. This is God's purpose. This is why he chose you and loved you and saved you, that you would bear fruit and be conformed, remade to look like Jesus. More and more look like your father. More and more the beautiful image that was corrupted because of sin restored. And brothers and sisters, what we need to see and what I hope we will see again and again, that the fruit of the Spirit is what we see in Jesus. Again and again, one by one, as we consider the fruit of the Spirit, we want to see that this is who he was. This is who he is. This is what he lived on earth as the perfect image of his Father, as the sinless Son, as our righteousness. So if you want to know what love or self-control or gentleness is, what it looks like, if you want to see it lived out, look at Christ. We had that opportunity this morning considering love, the greatest display of love there on the cross. And when you look at Jesus, you will never see verse 19 through 21 in him. You will never see any of those works of the flesh in him. He was tempted in all those ways. We read about that tonight. He was surrounded by all of that. He came into this world full of the works of the flesh, but he never once did the work of the flesh. And yet he lived and died and rose for those of us who do. And so we need to look to him, put our faith in him. We need to fix his character, his portrait in our minds, because that is our destination. That is who we are being molded into, painfully, slowly, and yet surely and gloriously. That's who the Spirit is conforming us into. And he is the source of the power. He is how it's possible. And this is why this ought to be a joyful and encouraging and hope-building study for us. And that's my prayer as we consider the fruit of the Spirit in the weeks ahead, that this ought to be an encouraging and a joyful endeavor. And as we close tonight, I want you to just think again, think about and marvel at the Holy Spirit, the infinite, all-powerful God dwelling in you and doing this work in you. I want you to imagine if you were homeless, but were given a house by a master craftsman. And the house was old and broken down, but he didn't just give you the house. He came to live there with you and to slowly and carefully restore the house into a beautiful home. And he was there just for you, to transform and remake that home, to make it beautiful. What a gift that would be. What hope and joy that would give you. Well, brothers and sisters, the Holy God, God the Holy Spirit, gives you life, gives you a home, an eternal dwelling place in God's family, unites you to the risen Jesus, comes and lives in you. You who were once a lost sinner, you who were once enslaved to the flesh, he comes and lives in you, and he will never leave you. And it's his full-time job to make you holy, to make you like Jesus, to bring life and fruit in you, and he will not fail. What good news. What a gift, what a privilege this is. Brothers and sisters, rejoice in what Christ has done for you. Rejoice in what he is doing in you by his Spirit and what he will complete in you one day. Look to him by faith. See his beauty and his love. Know that you have his Spirit to remake you, to bring forth fruit. And as you await his return, as you wait to see his face, walk by faith in him. Walk by the Spirit as he grows this fruit in you and makes you like him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his love, his joy, his peace and patience, his kindness, his goodness, his faithfulness, his gentleness and self-control. And we thank you that he is working those in us by his Spirit. Lord, that is not; those are not natural to us as sinners. And the works of the flesh are strong and they are many. And yet he has come to give us life, to put to death the works of the Spirit, to pay for our sins, to give us his righteousness, and then to slowly conform us to his image. Lord, we ask that you would enable us to believe this, to rejoice in this, to abide in him, to walk by the Spirit. And Lord, we ask that you would cause this fruit to be born in our lives for your glory. We pray that this congregation would be marked by the fruit of the Spirit, that we would increasingly look like Jesus because you are at work in us for our good, for the witness to the world, but ultimately for your glory. Lord, we do ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.